Did you hear anything?
Yeah, it said it's being recorded.
Oh, fantastic. It doesn't tell me these things on my side. Well, welcome everyone to the March LHON live call. It's crazy to think that it's already March, and as we've heard, it's the snowiest month of the year. So welcome everyone. Just a couple housekeeping things really quick. I'm gonna try to keep us all unmuted. One, mainly because I don't know how to unmute one person. So let's try it out. If everyone can just either mute their phones or star seven themselves, that'd be fantastic. Another housekeeping thing that we were brought aware to is that if you have a calling plan or phone plan that does not allow for unlimited minutes, this is a call that is not toll free. So you will be charged based on minutes. So if you do have that sort of plan, we do recommend you to use the link that we include in all the posts. So you can use Wi-Fi to make an internet call instead. So just a heads up, so kind of be aware of that. And a couple other things, as always, please feel free to ask any questions. This definitely is your call. We just don't want to talk about anything like clinical trials or any sort of legal advice. That's just not our jam and not our expertise. So we'll kind of leave those questions to the expert. But speaking of experts, without further ado, I'm really excited to introduce to you the guest speaker for today. His name is Mike Hess. Mike and I have a little history probably from a good 3 years ago. I was actually looking for some resources to help me find employment. You know, it's tough when you're starting to look for employment being visually impaired, and I was looking for resources to really encourage me and help me find what I was looking for. I am hearing a little feedback. Looks like someone's playing a video game. If you don't mind muting yourself, please. Thank you. So I actually stumbled upon, more or less, the Blind Institute of Technology, and that is the organization that Mike has started. So Mike, do you mind sharing to us how did you start BIT, what started you, and kind of a little bit of your journey, and then let's talk about what BIT does for the community.
Sure. Well, thanks, Jess, for having me. I really appreciate it. And thank you to all of you, all over the world for letting me join you today. I certainly appreciate this opportunity. As Jessica said, my name is Mike Hess. I am, I've been blind since birth. I have a condition that is called cone rod dystrophy. Which is a big bucket of, they don't really know what's wrong with me yet. And kind of typical childhood as a young person, legally blind, who had a mom who was dead to term and said, you know, you're going to get out there and you're going to fall down and you're going to run into things and you're going to have as normal of a childhood as possible. And so I went to public school and lots of trials and tribulations throughout all of that. Went to a community college shortly after high school when IT and technology was, I'm kind of an old guy, so back in the early 90s when IT was really taking off, went and became a applications programmer, and realized in my career that I was, I was far and few between as a blind technologist. 20 years into my career, I was getting into my 40s and just, you know, was kept questioning, you know, why am I the token blind guy, and started doing some good due diligence as a good IT and engineer should, IT nerd and engineer should. And, when I started isn't, what about AFB and NFB and ACB and all the B organizations out there? You know, aren't they doing anything about the, you know, unemployment, what I think epidemic for blind, visually impaired, and just realized that, you know, they do some great work from education and advocacy and all kinds of other, you know, great causes. And somewhere at the very bottom of their website, they talk about employment services and that sort of thing. And so I did what any rational human being would do 6.5 years ago, as I cashed in my six-figure income to start a nonprofit that's solely focused on the unemployment epidemic for blind and visually impaired. And, that's the kind of the entree into Blind Institute of Technology. So My background is all nerd. I speak binary zeros and ones, and which is kind of, to me, a refreshing approach to kind of blindness and employment, because there's always going to be a technology component to us being able to produce and deliver for organizations that are looking for talent. So that's a little bit about me. Not getting into too much about BIT. Jess, I don't know if you want me to go directly into BIT or.
Yeah. So, well, gosh, so I met you 4 or 5 years ago. I thought it was 3. I keep thinking it's 3, but 4 or 5 years ago when BIT was just getting off the ground. You guys have come so far in what you've built from 5 years ago to, I actually attended Mike's Dinner in the Dark that he hosted in Denver.
Question for you. If you're not home, is Melody allowed to leave to go to her friend's houses?
Sorry, if you're...
Please name your pages there. Is she allowed to go without talking to you and Michael first? See?
Jessica, can you see which number has that background noise, and can you mute that one?
Alex, before she's allowed to go to a friend's house. How many times do we have to ask you to do that? And you still go behind our backs.
Keep recording the call.
Yep. Okay. Oh, man, that's not. Can you hear me now?
First thing this morning.
Yeah, we can hear you, but there's also the background noise. We can hear you, but also the background, yes.
I can't. All right, we're going to mute everyone. Okay. Can you guys hear me? You guys can't tell if you can hear me. Let me try to unmute Mike really quick. All right, Mike, you there?
Jessica, can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, check out my audiovisual skills. This is fantastic. For the record, I'm the worst out of our 3 hosts because I always forget all the key commands. So everyone makes fun of me. So this is awesome. I got this. So sorry about that. But without further ado, so I was just sharing that. So I attended Mike's Dinner in the Dark that he hosted this past February or last month. And gosh, to see how much BIT has grown. Tell us a little bit about, if I came to BIT and I was looking for a job and I'm unemployed as a blind and visually impaired person, what can I expect? What resources can you offer?
Well, sure, Jess. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. And let's assume that everybody else can hear me. It's my background's all private industry, right? So I not state or federal level employment. It was all private industry, working for Fortune 500 companies over my entire career. And so, really what anybody can expect coming to BIT is the fact that we actually have relevant experience within the space that most people are aiming to work for. And so we're building an organization that speaks to corporate America, period. Our approach is we offer from policy to placement for Fortune 500, Fortune 1000, Fortune 10,000 companies. We speak their language. So when somebody who's blind, visually impaired comes to us, and whether they're employed or they are unemployed. So if we have folks that come to us who have what we call been underemployed, and who feel like, you know what, I'm stagnant. I'm the token blind person within this organization. They're going to come to us and say, okay, hey, we never charge any job seekers ever. It's not our business model at all. We're going to help them. We're going to review their resume. We're going to look at their, interview skills, get them up to speed from a social media perspective, help them from that lens, going to help coach them up a bit. If they need additional training skills, we offer, again, free to blind, visually impaired individuals. classes that are almost all remote. Some of them are here in Denver, but a lot of our classes we're offering remote to help train people up, getting their skills you know, up to date if they need additional skills, especially from an accessible technology perspective. But we also are offering certifications and other very relevant skills for corporate America. And what they can expect from BIT is the fact that this isn't just a job for me. Obviously, this is a passion. Our mantra is, you know, being able to help 10,000 blind, visually impaired people find gainful employment. I mean, that's our mantra. We've been modestly successful over the last several years as momentum is really built. We've gotten over 50 placements. And we're talking our average wage that we get people placed in starts at $27 an hour. We've gotten people placed as high as $160,000 a year. So if you come to us with skills, or better yet, a great attitude, we're going to be able to get you placed.
What's so cool, what I really love about BIT, and which I feel is so rare in this industry, which makes me super excited that I have a connection with the BIT community, is that each one of us has something that we love, something that we have a passion for. And a lot of us have lost vision when we're going into college or maybe graduating right after college. We found that passion. We found what we really enjoy. And the thought of kind of veering to a different path because we found this passion, I mean, here's proof that we can stay on path and continue to do everything that we're passionate about because there's resources out there to help us find those connections that are needed, the right technology, and you help bridge that communication gap that sometimes employers are really hesitant to hire someone that has a disability, and here's a proven track record that makes them feel more comfortable.
And that's you nailed it right on the head there, Jess, too, is that organizations are, even though there's no statistics that show that people with disabilities are any more likely to be litigious than any other protected class. So minority or gender, LGBTQ, any other protected class, there's no statistics that show that people with disabilities are any more litigious. However, organizations, they don't know what they don't know. And so we go into organizations, you know, the Fortune 500s, and we have very public relationships with really, really large companies from Aetna to DaVita to Charter Communications, Google, Oppenheimer, you know, all industries where we work with these organizations and help them because they're HR representatives, you know, the ones that would be the first level interviewers for individuals. Again, you come in with a cane or a guide dog, or if you do the whole fake it where you've got just enough sight where you feel like you can wing an interview. But guess what? There's interviewers, they're looking for just that little thing that separates you. So if you go to fake it and you don't do it quite right, you know, so anyway, these organizations, they don't know what they don't know. And so we come in as an organization and we teach them all about just reverse that word of or replace the term of reasonable accommodation with accessible technology. And we are absolutely accessible technology studs. We know it really, really well. And we help organizations understand just how easy it is to implement accessible technology. Again, my entire career was as a very high paid IT and network nerd. So again, I can speak language that they absolutely respond to. And that's why organizations are signing up with BIT is because we're helping them implement what's called diversity and inclusion initiatives that's focused around people with disabilities. And we go into these organizations and we speak their speak. Again, I'm all corporate, I'm all nerd. So I help them with the reasonable accommodation topic. I then help them with the unconscious bias topic. We then give them really, really solid, talented individuals from a resume perspective. And so that's why these organizations are coming back to us. And that's why the reputation continues to grow, which is really, really exciting. So,
yeah, it's really exciting. And what's really cool is that, and a huge bonus is that not all of us, with all due respect, speak nerd, nor do some of us know, especially a lot of us in the LH1 community have sudden vision loss. So we're maybe in our careers, we're in school or college, high school, whatever. And with sudden vision loss, and as we progress, you know, there's not that go-to book that says, here's what you do if you go blind, you should ask for these accessibility tools. So maybe we're mid-career and we're sudden vision loss. You are our nerd guru and can help us kind of determine what's going to work best and obviously make us most efficient in the workplace, which is awesome.
Well, and I like to think so. So the first thing, like, you know, so most of our go-to, you know, and I know there's equivalents in the UK, so I got to imagine there's the equivalent to, even in Canada and Australia. I know there is in Australia as well. Vocational rehabilitations, you know, in the UK, it's NSH or NHS. And, you know, there are these equivalent organizations that are supposed to help people with disabilities. And they do, I don't know, adequate to less than adequate jobs on helping us with the transition, with the rehabilitation component, but they are not experts in employment, without a doubt. And so we, the IT, like if you're still interested in working, and that's what we, you know, like the first thing I always ask, like, okay, so first of all, do you want to remain working? And second of all, do you look at your blindness as an obstacle or a barrier? Because from a mental perspective, that's really, really important. And if you're, and I get this again, I'm blind. I get it. So there are really dark days and it has nothing to do with my eyesight. It's all mental, it's emotional, it's spiritual. And so there are many times that I'm still grappling with those blindisms. And so I, you know, we ask those very candid conversations, like, you know, is your blindness, you know, an obstacle or a barrier? And if, you know, they hesitate or they hem and haw, you know, we say, like, okay, there are a lot of amazing organizations and resources out there that can help you from that mental, emotional perspective. You know, when you're ready to really tackle, because to be employed and still struggling with the whole blindness thing, those are two really, really challenging things. Now, within that, when I like how I coach individuals is saying, like, employment, when you feel good about yourself, when you're able to earn your own nickel, like when you're able to go out there, like you feel like you're adding value from that employment perspective. Like, I truly believe that employment is a civil right. But you should have the right to be able to go out there and earn your own nickel. If you're going out there and getting the education and everything else, like, you should have the same opportunities from an employment perspective. And so my coaching always comes from that. Like, I truly believe that employment is active therapy. And guess what you can do? Like, I've met blind people who are, you know, amazing. I mean, from electrical engineers to chemical engineering to I've met blind nurses. I mean, unless you come to me and say you want to be an Uber driver, like, I'm totally going to support your mission on employment. And the good news is with our connections, like, we can totally help you down that path. And we may not know every company out there, but we know individuals and experts and professionals in all sorts of industries who can quite honestly help you network to find the right connection of the organization within your area as well.
And that's awesome. And you know, it's actually really funny, Mike, because you're the only person from Colorado. So we need to, like, we definitely need to introduce LHON friends in Colorado, but you're not just Colorado, you're nationwide.
We are. We've gotten people placed in 7 other states. I could actually say our second year in business, we actually got a contract for somebody out of Toronto, Canada. So I can actually say that we're international. I mean, it's Toronto. It's still Canada. Awesome. So
I know our Canadians, you know, so are loving us right now.
Right. Yeah. So you know, we can absolutely, we have blind people all over the world. I, and I'm not kidding you, Jess, all over the world that reach out to us, because when you start researching organizations that help, you know, blind people find employment, it's a short list. It really, really is. And so I've been humbled by, you know, people who reach out and say, hey, can you help? And you know, in the early days, like, the only thing I could help with was a phone call, because we didn't have, you know, I was building the network, building this community that we're building, right? And so it's taken some time. And again, there's not a lot of people out there that are kicking doors down in corporate America, getting blind people placed. And so it's taken a little time. I'm a little slow. I always say I'm a slow learner. The good news is I am a learner and, you know, a self-proclaimed nerd, but I'm figuring out the whole sales cycle. And we've made some really significant strides over the last couple of years. And the good news is organizations are coming to us now. And we literally have organizations who are saying, hey, we're looking for 20 people. And we're looking for, I'm not even kidding. I had an organization this year and we're working on the details now, who said they want 1,000 people. So, but those conversations, it took a long time of forging the relationships and proving that we can do this for those kind of conversations to happen. So, but I truly believe that employment is, it's active therapy. It helps us feel better about ourselves.
Totally, totally agree. Now, okay, let's just say I'm underemployed. Let's just say I'm totally ready to take the next step in finding a new career path or finding my next opportunity. And I, as a person in the LHN community, like, what's my next step? Can I reach out to you? Like, who's the best person to reach out to? Let's say I'm looking for maybe some resume writing or some mock interviews, and I'm ready to take the next step. What should I do?
Well, you know, I'm fairly accessible, Jess. So I mean, mike@blindit.org is my email. 303-995 Mike is my phone number. Like, I make myself overly available, and I will not be the one to guide. The good news is that we've got tremendous resources internally now, but I truly want to meet people. I want to know your story. I want you to know that I am here for your journey, that I am working hard for you. Yeah, we do not charge ever, Jess, and you know this. We don't charge our job seekers ever.
So.
And we've gotten you, I don't know, like at least eight interviews over the years, right? Like via West, you had 3 interviews alone. So
I've had 3 this week.
So I love it. You know, I've actively coached you to not take certain jobs. I want people to hear that too. I know a thing or two about employment. I know a thing or two about organization culture. And Jess, I'm going to, even if you get a job offer with a certain organization, even if they're going to offer you more money, I'm not going to necessarily say like, Jess, but I know you and I know the culture there. And this, even though if it's $10,000 more money, it's not going to be worth the pain in the butt that organization is going to be to you. So again, I'm going to advocate for you. It's not always about money. Sometimes it's worth that stepping stone, but you know, in your case specifically, I know we're going to find the right culture fit and the right money.
Oh, that's why I love it. And speaking on community, you know, it's so important to surround yourself with people that support you, advocate for you, and think that you can be the best you all the time. And I think that's really important, especially that's why we do this call. It's so encouraging to get on this call, to be able to talk with other people that have LHON and for them to tell tips and tricks. And that's why I thought it was so important to bring you on the call, because there's definitely a resource where we're always looking to what's going to help us become the best us of right now. And so it's great to have the community, and I wish I could put into words to share with you all the community when I was at the Mike's Dinner in the Dark, because everyone saw it was incredible. I mean, I've been on countless interviews and definitely been like the poor blind girl that's interviewed, or I've been like, oh, so how do you brush your hair and who put your outfit together? You know, you've been in that situation, but to be at Mike's Dinner in the Dark was, I mean, they saw blindness as a pro on their side. They saw anybody that was blind at the dinner as like their ideal candidate, because it was something that set us apart and gave us internal strength, that gave us perseverance and gave us determination. So it was awesome to be part of that, where I was never once embarrassed to walk around with my cane, as it definitely took me a while to get to that point and years to get to that point. But it was not something that I proudly walked around and walked with my cane, and people would politely come up to me and be like, hi, my name is so-and-so, Jessica, I'm putting my hand out. And, you know, like the culture has totally shifted, and you're starting with your room of 500 people, you shifted. So it was fantastic. But I am I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I appreciate that, Jess. I work hard for our community. I really do. My hope in life, again, like 10,000 people gainfully employed or bust. It's a mantra for our organization. And so I appreciate that. I'm so glad that you felt welcome there. For all of you all over the country, all over the globe, our fifth Dining in the Dark next year, it'll be bigger and better, and blind, visually impaired people are always free. So if you want to come, it'll be a great party. Again, we have all sorts of, it's a corporate event, period. As Jess, your mom was describing, there were people there in their very, very, very fine dining. Oh, it's a corporate event, and it's a lot of fun. But anybody, if you can make it to Denver, you are my guest, period.
A very corporate event, but Mike has some sweet dance moves that he busted out at the end of the night. So yeah, fantastic. But without further ado, I do want to open it up. I'm going to attempt to unmute us all. I do want to invite anyone that has any questions to chime in. So let's see how this all works. All righty. I have everyone unmuted. Does anyone have any questions for Mike? And
I have a question.
Yeah, please.
How would you define the difference between, as you said, an obstacle or a barrier?
And I think that's a very personal question, right? So I call them blindism. So there are times, and I have what I call dark days or dark moments. Sometimes the day bleeds into 2 days, but where I'm really challenged with, my blindness. I've run into a couple, I've been hit by four cars. Cause I traveled the entire country myself, Uber, my cane, all by my lonesome. And so I've been in some really scary situations, that have affected me on a very visceral level. But I do everything I can, active therapy, working out, eating the best I can, sharing with friends to get myself out of that space so I can continue to be a happy, healthy, productive person. And so to me, the difference between an obstacle and a barrier, an obstacle is more temporary to me versus a barrier is, are you stuck in your head? Are you stuck in your heart more times than not? But that would be my very personal definition of that. I don't know if that helped or confused it, but that would be my definition.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yes, I have a question. I lost my vision at 52. So when you get a certain age, is there an age limit? I know she was speaking of college students and younger individuals, but when you get, I've been working in the corporate America all my life, then I just lost my vision at 52, so I'm starting all over. Do you deal with individuals at that age?
Without a doubt. I'd be honored. We have individuals. So to me, again, I go back to, do you still want to work?
Yes. That's,
yeah.
So I was done. My life was just beginning, and, it just hit me where I felt like, again, I was just starting a good life. So, yes.
Yeah. You've got decades of experience that corporate America needs, right? So your only challenge is, okay, so you've got to learn some new tool sets to be able to overcome those. And there are what I call very real business obstacles. Okay. You know, again, like, so how do you deal with spreadsheets? How do you deal with, your CRM application or whatever application you're dealing with within corporate America, right? Like those are obstacles. And okay. From an accessible technology perspective, you know, learning some tools, learning some techniques to overcome those. If you've still got the drive, absolutely.
Man, this is awesome what you're doing, because I know we went through a lot of folk rehab classes and their job corps. I call them job corps or job classes. It was nothing like this. They would try to help you, but they couldn't actually help you. It seemed like, you know, they were just sending us out and it wasn't nothing that could do for us, but what you're doing is awesome. I have to applaud you because this is awesome.
Yes. Thank you. Well, Invoke Rehab, again, they have a certain set of, you know, skills and techniques that they're able to teach, but they don't really speak employment. I mean, that's, you know, our government, our federal government, you know, they're good at government stuff. They don't do employment. Right. And so my whole background is all like, I've been in the private sector. Like I speak nerd, but I also speak corporate, but I know applications and all that kind of stuff. So I appreciate that. I mean, again, please, my email, if Jess, you know, want to send it out, please feel free to share, reach out to me. I'll schedule some time. Let's chat.
Okay. One other question. I'm done. Have you been in Denver and Salem in another state? I just got to go through emails, see if I want to go through your classes, or how do we do that part, you know? I'm sorry to take this.
All right. No. It's all good. So reach out to me, and I'll let you, we'll be in touch with you and let you know what classes that we have online for you to get involved with.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is get my recorder, and as when this is over with, I just want to get the information where I can record it on my recorder, and I can have it.
Perfect.
Thank you.
You betcha. Anybody else?
This is Lisa from Canada.
Lisa A?
That was going to be my first comment. We don't say A, all of us. but you Americans do go, But anyways, I wanna commend you on what you've created. It's amazing, outstanding, unbelievable. You mentioned that you've reached out to somebody in Canada as well. Like, we don't have that kind of resources, or if we do, it's certainly not what you're describing here in Canada. Do you offer that to Canadians?
We actually got somebody placed from Toronto. So in other words, there was a blind gentleman from Toronto who I got connected with early on, and we ended up having a short-term contract with that individual. They had the proper skills that we were looking for, and they delivered. So when I say that, so there's two sides of the business that, you know, we focus on. One is, you know, it's you, the job seeker, right? And so we help with, you know, the whole resume and the interview, you know, the training. We do a lot of online training now. We're getting even more and more of that. So those, it doesn't matter. Like, so if you're, whether you're in Canada or not, we BIT don't care, because we're never going to charge you. Right. So, and then on the flip side, so the challenge that I do not, full transparency. I don't have a lot of, let's say, Canadian companies that I am connected with in the same way that I am here in the United States. However, you know, like Google is everywhere, even in Canada, right? So we're building relationships with organizations who do have that international presence.
Well, I'd be willing to relocate somewhere hot in the United States right about now. So,
well, Denver is an amazing city. I am part of the City and County of Denver commissions, and state, Governor Polis and former Governor Hickenlooper. Like, I love the state of Colorado and City and County of Denver. It's we're at a balmy 25 degrees right now.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that, but congratulations. And congratulations on your success of your company. I think that's truly amazing. Can I ask a personal question? And I know you're not supposed to ask this in today's world. Can I ask how old you are?
Oh, I'm 50.
Okay, so you're just young. You're young. Oh.
Well, I've survived two teenage girls, so I feel like an 87-year-old. So
I'm 50 as well. That's why I said you're young.
We're young then, absolutely, Lisa.
Yeah. Okay. Well, congratulations and all the best to you.
Thank you. Feel free to reach out directly. Anybody else?
If you can verbalize that information at the end, because I feel like you could really help me. I work for Fortune 500, and I feel like I'm kind of stuck. But I just, like that previous gentleman, I just want to applaud what you're doing. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Thank you.
Well, no, thank you. You know, it's this is such a I appreciate that, and I Jessica knows me very well, and I this is not a like I don't need the pats on the back or anything like that. Like it breaks my heart when I hear, I know so many of us who are out there who've got skills, who've got passion, who just happen to have this thing, right, this thing called blindness. In but it, like, again, when how I sell is I go out to these Fortune whatever companies and I explain to them, like, guys, accessible technology, this is how it works. And I give them the zeros and ones all the way down. I'm like, and this is what allowed me to do very, very high level work. I managed 7- and 8-figure projects. And again, I'm not the smartest guy, but I knew how accessible technology allowed me to overcome those challenges. And so I literally sell us as a solution, you know, via accessible technology. And so it's a technology solution. And when you can, you know, if you can sell anything today as a technology solution, organizations want to hear it. They really do. And so I just happen to be selling, you know, blind, visually impaired people via a technology solution. And so I applaud, like, any of you who are willing to take yourself on to say, yeah, damn it, I'm worth it. And I want to earn some money. Sorry, I get a little fired up, guys. Jess knows this. I warned her.
Love it.
I warned her.
So is the focus of your company more on putting employees and employers together, or training technology to people who are seeking jobs?
It's the former, not the latter. I always say, like, we bridge the gap between the blind, visually impaired community and the organizations looking for talented individuals. So if you think about that as a visual, right, as an analogy, so you have organizations that are looking for talented people. They are really looking for talented people. And you have blind, visually impaired people who, let's say, lost their sight. They're 52 years old. And all of a sudden, bam, they're used to doing X, Y, and Z in corporate America a certain way. However, now they have to retool themselves. They have to learn, you know, technologies and techniques to do that same task, right? And so if you think about that, and so first of all, I have to sell to corporate America, explain to them how it is a successful technology allows individuals like me to overcome those tasks. And I have to sell to blind, visually impaired people that, yes, you can still do this. However, this is the technology or the techniques that you have to learn to do it.
Oh, and I have a follow-up question. What's the date for your dinner in Denver?
February 8th, 2020.
Right.
Almost like we're planning on it.
2020.
Mike, this is Lisa. I have a question. So I understand that sometimes when an individual is employed and they do have vision loss, then they set up a plan with the Department of Rehab, and Department of Rehab often outsources to an assistive or an adaptive tech company to do a workplace analysis, accessibility analysis. How is that process different or similar to what it is that you do with an individual who is working and has this happen and needs AT support and understanding?
It's a great question. And so, yeah, a lot of the vendors that are with Voc Rehab companies around the country, around the U.S., So the landscape of DVR vendors is super interesting. They can teach JAWS, they can teach maybe even some NVDA, they can help you maybe with Braille displays, those sort of things. They're going to go in there, and let's say you lost your vision and you're working on Salesforce or name an application, doesn't matter, right? And one of your primary tools is this particular CRM or ERP or whatever the heck your system that you're used to working on is. Those particular DVR vendors, and I can tell you, I know every single AT vendor here in Colorado, and I know many of them in California, I know many of them in Utah, I know many of them in Arizona, like I know them across the country. They do not speak kind of the next layer down. So in other words, you can make any application on the planet, any application, any of them, accessible to screen reader technologies or Braille displays. You can make any app. So hear that again. You can make any of them accessible, but you got to be going to the code level. And so most AT vendors have no idea what that is. They're very, very adept at knowing the application. Again, JAWS, NVDA, VoiceOver, Braille displays. They know that. They don't know how to take an application from a code level and make that accessible, so therefore the screen readers can then interact with them. That's the big difference.
Man.
But that would come into play with an individual who needs like a JAWS screen reader. But if an individual is functional with magnification, for instance, which a lot of the people in our community are, then in that situation, is it true that the services that the local providers can do would probably get the job done, but maybe if it needs that deeper level, they might need your level of expertise?
Deeper level, without a doubt. And then quite honestly, again, I go back to, so our whole mission is employment, period. So a DVR vendor whole mission is to teach a certain technology. Whether or not you stay employed is absolutely secondary or tertiary to their, like they're there to say, okay, here's how you do this. But most of those folks, again, they're bread and butter. They get paid $41 an hour, whatever their hourly rate is within that state system. They're going to get an authorization for this person for 50 hours at $41 an hour, and you're going to get trained here. Here's JAWS or here's ZoomText or whatever that, special tool is. And what we do is, so, okay, cool. Here's the technology. However, here are some other techniques, because as a blind professional that have been very, very effective managing 7- and 8-figure projects, guess what? There are some other techniques for you to also be aware of, so you to continue to be super productive. And so that, so again, our whole goal is for you to stay employed, period. Period. Like that's what we want you to do, is stay employed. So we work from an employment perspective, not just the technology. The tools are just part of the overall solution.
Thank you.
Mike, I'm totally going to expand on that. Is that, I have the ZoomText, I have JAWS. JAWS just makes me a little bit more fit, like a little bit faster when I'm trying to navigate an Excel spreadsheet. So I have those resources. I know-ish how to use them. I'm definitely no expert, but that's not why I come to BIT. I go to BIT because I'm looking to network with the community you've created to then be able to put myself in front of the right people that don't think twice about hiring someone that's blind and visually impaired, so that barrier is not set for me before I get there.
And I appreciate that, Jess. And actually, one of the things that we're aiming to create is really a community of, so like this support system that you guys have here, which I think is phenomenal. We want to create a community of working professionals where we get to share, like saying, hey, I've had to overcome this particular obstacle by using this particular technique.
Right.
Because even though BIT, in my experience, has been, I can help with so much. The experts are here on the phone. Like how is it that we collectively can share this knowledge so so we all can have a job where we can all feel good about ourselves to earn that honest nickel. Like that to me is, that's the kind of community that we VIP. And Jess got to see this. Again, we had, I don't know, 30 blind people in the room, right? And we were sharing videos of these blind people that are, you know, again, knocking down $120,000 a year, $90,000 a year. These are working professionals that are there to share their story on how they do what they do with everybody who's looking to make that same kind of job.
Which is totally important, especially because I currently hate Adobe PDF. So I would love to talk to someone about that because I hate that program. Don't get me started. Anybody else out there have any other questions for Mike?
I just have one other question if I can ask. You know, I do the Excel. I got the JAWS. I went through all the training for this. But if you got an individual that's coming straight off, I want to say streets, and don't know any of this, how do you, you know, incorporate that in their training, or what do you do for that individual that don't have no experience at all?
You know, so somebody starting from scratch on learning the screen reader technologies?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're asking?
The computer. Yes, just learning the computer. Like I said, I know how to do the XFL, Windows, and all that with my training, but if you got an individual that, say, I didn't learn this till later in my life. I knew how to do the basic computer, but when I lost my vision, I had to do the training to learn how to use this, make spreadsheets and all that. But early in my life, I just had to do the basic of programming because all my training been process operated or worked on machines or it wasn't with computers.
Sure. Okay. So yeah. So it wasn't necessarily, you know, kind of what I call a typical desk jockey.
Right.
You know, so right. Again, the really, really good news is that, again, we have individuals, we have resources that aren't just ours, and this isn't all proprietary information. We're out there sharing we just got, as of today, we just got a young buck who's been losing, mid 40s, late 40s, started losing his eyesight about 7 years ago. He is now totally blind, but he has taken the challenge on and just was offered the job today. He is learning to be a programmer. And so, you know, before he started losing his eyesight, guess what? He was an auto body mechanic.
Right. Okay.
So again, and we did it, and all we did was say, okay, you know, here are the resources that are out there that are very, very accessible. Here's this. So all we did was share that information. We want to be that conduit. We don't necessarily say we have all of, you know, all the resources that are ours. No, but we know where a lot of the resources are, and that's what we aim to be, is that, you know, kind of that wholesale shop of like, hey, here's this. And if not, we have a heck of a network that we can reach out to start asking. But so somebody who went from an auto body mechanic who just got his first job offer, $27 an hour as of today, and he is a budding junior level developer.
Man, that sounds, yeah.
So it can be done at any age. But it starts with the whole, you know, with the gray matter, the 3.5 pounds of gray matter betwixt your ears. Like, what, you know, where's your attitude? Are you ready for the challenge? Do you want it? Because if you want it, you can have it.
Thank you.
You bet. And please, everybody, I absolutely honor this. Mike@blindit.org is my email address. If you have any questions that you want to ask personally, individually, feel free. My phone number is 303-995-MIKE, 303-995-MIKE. Please don't hesitate to reach out to me at any level. I'd be honored to talk to you, and I just so appreciate your time, your interest. Good luck and God bless to all of you. Thank you so much for your time.
Can you shoot your email one more time, please?
Mike@blindit.org. Mike at blindit.org.
Thank you.
You bet.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us on our call tonight. We really appreciate it, and I'm super excited that I get to share this awesome resource I've had with our LH1 family. So thank you for helping us and motivating us and getting us all pumped up. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jess. Talk to you soon, dear.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys, I just want to definitely a couple more announcements. Lisa, would you mind sharing with us about the conference while I have you recorded?
Always happy to talk about the conference. So registration is open. If you go on the LHON.org website, the last tab is about the conference, and so everything you need to know is located there. There's still time to apply for a scholarship if that's an issue. So there's a scholarship deadline coming up, and then the actual activity starts on Wednesday, June 26th with a prep and mixer for Day on the Hill, which happens on Thursday the 27th, and that's a totally free event. If you can be there and want to be a part of going on Capitol Hill and lobbying for funding for mitochondrial research, which includes LHON, it's great to have people there, and it's another fun way to hang out with your LHON community and also to get to know the broader mitochondrial community. And then there'll be a social event at the hotel on the evening of June 27th, Thursday. And then there'll be a welcoming mixer on Friday the 28th. So starting at 11 o'clock, there's a welcoming mixer, and then lunch is at 12:30, and then we'll have sessions from 1:30 to 5:30. And then there'll be a social event optionally that night, and then more sessions Saturday the 29th from 8:30 till 12:30. And then technically we'll be done, but we still like to have fun. So there's a group, there's activities being planned for that afternoon and evening for those that can hang out and optionally hang out and have some more fun. So you'll find all that information on LHON.org's conference site and links to registration and so forth. I know some people, it's kind of confusing when you go to the registration form. You know, this is not like a standalone event, right? It's an LHON event within the broader UMDS event. So it makes registration complicated. But if you look for the LHON only, from now till the end of May, it's just $42. So it's a very, you know, early bird, low price till the end of May. And you look for the LHON, and that covers, you know, any cost for everything that I talked about other than optionally, you know, having fun during certain social hours. If you're interested in the broader mitochondrial disease issues, some people do sign up for the full UMDS conference, and that starts Friday morning and ends Saturday late afternoon and includes the UMDS banquet Friday night. So that option is on the registration page, and that costs a little bit more. Because it's two full days rather than, you know, ours, which is just partial. So that's $115 for the 2 days plus the banquet. But you're not missing any of the LHON stuff if you just do the $42 one. So I hope that's clear, and I'm open to answering any questions.
How about hotels?
So the hotel, the link to the hotel is on the same link that I just described. Now I was just checking it out, and it looks as though the conference rate may be sold out. But then I went to the hotel site itself, and there seems to be space available. I'm not quite sure on the price. So I would say, you know, call the hotel and see if you can get the UMDS rate for the nights you have in mind. And then check the rate and see what you can find. There seems to be space available, and a lot of people find it's worth it to be on property because some of the fun seems to happen late at night and early in the morning. But you know, there's certainly other options in the area too.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
No,
not a thing.
I just registered today. This is Marcy. And I just, they told me that just the Saturday wasn't available for the conference rate. But when I called the hotel, they were actually able to book Saturday for me at a cheaper rate than the group rate. So there are still rooms available. I was curious. Yeah, I was curious about the banquet, though. Does a lot of the LHON attend the banquet, or is that purely just optional?
It's super optional. I would say if we had 100 people last time, I'd say about 20 came to the banquet. And within the 20 that came to the banquet, a bunch of us had signed up for the whole conference because if you're the folks, well, and you might actually enjoy it, especially true because the LHON Plus group that really crosses over between sort of the MITO view of things and the LHON, you know, you kind of cross over more. I think there's a lot more commonality in terms of symptoms to the broader MITO community. So signing up for the full UMDF conference so that you can attend those events might, you know, some of it tends to be the plus crowd. But it's also just if you're, some folks like to look at it as just LHON and just come for the LHON and that's that. Some folks like to sort of get more connected with the full UMDF and what's the whole MITO thing all about and connect with the broader community. And either way is good. You know, both are good. But if you're looking at the percentages, I would say maybe 20% went to the banquet, 80% didn't. But both are good.
Okay, I'm just glad that I finally convinced my husband to go.
We're so glad. I'm glad. We're looking forward to meeting you.
Yes.
Wayne. So are you LHON Plus?
I have official diagnosis of LHON and MS. So I have MS as well. So I have a dual diagnosis.
Okay.
Which to me means that the umbrella of LHON Plus and LHON MS seems to go together. So a lot of non-vision issues are going to be discussed in. So I don't know. I don't know if you registered just for the LHON or for the individual event, but
I just did the LHON.
Okay. Most people don't do LHON plus banquet. They either do the individual all inclusive, because by the time you know, if you're going to do the banquet, you might as well do the individual all-inclusive. You can go to the MITO sessions too.
I saw that because by the time you paid for the LHON, if you added the banquet, it ended up being more than the whole event anyway.
Right. Yeah. It's a good question, Oscar. The way the UMDF runs its family meeting, it's Friday all day, Friday night banquet, Saturday all day. And the early bird price for all of that is $115. With LHON's meeting, we just do like one day's worth of stuff. And this year we're doing it across 2 days and without the banquet. So that allows us to keep the LHON price really low. It's only $42 as an early bird rate. So we keep it away from the banquet so that if people want to keep it inexpensive, then just sign up for LHON. Don't worry about the banquet and spend $42 and you can be there. So that's why we do it that way. But if you're interested in the banquet, then yeah, I'd say do the individual all-inclusive registration, because that way you can do the banquet, you can go to any of the UMDF meetings, it includes, you know, additional meals over the 2 days. And again, that's 115. So that's what I know it's complicated, but the goal is to, you know, the full price of the UMDF meeting before they even started doing early birds was 230. And whoa, I know that's that's not affordable for everybody. So that's why and then the early birds only started a couple of years ago. So that's why we created LHON, no banquet, just, you know, in and out, lunch, boom. And its main price is $85. And that's why we kept the banquet out of it, just so we could keep it affordable for everybody. And then now that it's got the early bird price, it's down to 42. So, you know, hopefully the registration doesn't keep anyone away. But again, if you want the full experience of the whole mitochondrial community and the sessions that relate to non-vision mitochondrial issues, then you might want to do the all-inclusive registration, and then you're covered for meals for 2 full days, including the banquet. Both are good.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, at this time, I just want to say thank you guys so much for joining March's LH1 live call. April's call is going to be, I did not look it up. That's really something I should have done. Anyone? April?
We need Andy.
April 3rd.
So our April call is on April 3rd. So please feel free to come back and join us. We would love to have you. You will have either Andy or Maria speaking or as your host. Are any of you guys on here? Andy, Maria?
Yes. Okay.
No, I don't think they are.
No. Well, they're here in spirit, so they say hello. But yes, please come back and join us for April 3rd's LH1 live call. I am going to stop the recording now, and please feel free to hang out and stay chatting with us.
So Jessica, when Andy did this, it doesn't say the recording stopped, but he could see it on the backside. I don't know if you're seeing that.
I see. Oh, I do see that.
It's not like the other.